Morning. The reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 17, and that can be found on page 1146 in the Blue Church Bibles. So that's 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 17, page 1146. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. This is God's word.
Good morning. 10:34. Okay. Just checking. We don't go over time. Hello. So my name's Mustafa. Hello to all of you. If we've not met before, especially. I'm curious just to know if anyone has actually never been here before. If you don't want to make yourself known, I understand. But if you have, any kind of hand raising would be interesting. Yeah. Okay, maybe one or two. Yes, definitely. All right, great. Oh, it's great to have you in this time between Christmas and New Year, which is, I don't know, what is it? What do we even call it? It needs a name, doesn't it? It's like overshadowed by Christmas and New Year. It's like the Tuesday of the year. It's like, does it even count towards life? Yeah, it does. Yes, so we're here. And what we've been doing in our Sunday morning services is going through this theme in the Bible of God with us, as you can see on the screen. It runs all the way through the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end. And we've been following it with a kind of, you know, it's kind of Christmassy, isn't it? Jesus, God's Son, comes to be with us. And today, the focus is on a special time in that story that we are a part of. So this is like the you are here bit in the story of God with us. So it's actually really, really quite amazing. So what we're going to do is go through this passage, sort of kind of, you know, in order, verse by verse. After we look a little bit at the context of the situation it was written to. So before we do that, I'll just pray. Dear God, our Father, thank you for the amazing privilege of being a part of your great story and for stooping down to come to us and include us in your eternal plans. We pray, Lord, that as we look at this passage, you would be gracious to help us understand and believe the truth in it, and be transformed by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the headline of today, I'm going to spoil it for you. It comes at the end of the verses, but here it is. It is We are the temple. We are the temple. We'll go back and look at the temple theme when we get to the end bit. But for now, we'll work through the passage with this in mind, that the time we are in now is where God has chosen to live in the people of the church. So if you are in the church of Christ, you are the temple of God. Collectively and individually, God has chosen to live in people. We are in verse 10, and we are going to look at the first point. These are the points, just as an overview. It's helpful, isn't it? Can we have all the points? Yeah, there we go. So we're going to do the first point. Your foundation is Christ, verses 10 to 11. After the context, I promised context, didn't I? I also don't mean to throw you there. No, context. Context first. So this letter, 1 Corinthians, was written to a church in Corinth, as the name betrays. The Corinthian church was a bit of a mess in some ways. It was a real church with real believers, but they had a lot of problems. There was a word to Corinthianize, was, you know, to kind of make immoral. They had a bad reputation, that city. So there was a lot of immorality. There was sexual immorality. There was prostitution involved with shrine worship of idols. There's a lot of immoral things going on. And the problem that Paul is addressing in our section of the letter is there were divisions in the church. So people were saying that they were rallying behind the different leaders there were in the church. So there was Paul, the apostle. People saying, I am of Paul. And others saying, I am of Apollos, who is another eloquent speaker. And people were sort of lifting up men, lifting up people in the church, and that was causing divisions. So our bit that we're about to read, Paul has that in mind. That's the situation in which we learn about the church being God's temple. So that's the context. And the first point is, your foundation is Christ, verses 10 to 11. This is Paul speaking. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So our first point is, the foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. Paul says at the start that he laid that foundation. So obviously he's using a metaphor. He didn't literally, you know, have Jesus and he put him there and everybody does like a pyramid. No. So the foundation of the church that he laid, he describes in chapter 2. So, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 shows us what that is like. This is Paul being a wise builder, laying the foundation of the church of Christ. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So that's Paul wisely laying the foundation of Christ, which he says is Jesus Christ and him crucified. So that foundation is also called the good news or the gospel. And if you're unfamiliar with that, that is the truth that we have all sinned, all humans have sinned and incurred God's wrath. A fire that once lit will never be extinguished, God said. someone must be punished for their sin. But the good news of the gospel is Jesus has taken that punishment by his death. That's Jesus Christ crucified. And when he rose again, he can give us new life. It shows the payment has been made. There's no more wrath. And new life is available to anyone who trusts in him. And when you believe that, you are joined to Jesus Christ. Literally, physically, spiritually, really, mystically united to Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian and you believe that truth, you are one with Jesus, one spirit with the Lord, 1 Corinthians also says. I think it's 1 Corinthians. One spirit with him. And so, for Christians, that's the foundation, and there's only one foundation, and we're built on that. Now, if you like a lot of chocolate on your biscuit, join a... Yes, lots of people know it. I thought no one would say it. It's like really old from my childhood. I hope that really encourages you that, you know, there are other people out there who like chocolate on their biscuit and you can be friends with them. Just kidding. The basis of the club biscuit club is you like chocolate on your biscuit. There are lots of different reasons why we would start a club with people, isn't there? And we have this group identity based on this shared hobby or interest or like. So what other clubs are people in? Come on. I know you're in other clubs. I know you're thinking about it now. What? Maybe golf, maybe a sport, hobby. Chess. Thank you. Very proud chess club member. Yes. Yes, keep it cerebral. So the basis of the church is none of these things, as good as they are. The reason we're here, the reason any of us is here, is because of this foundation that we have trusted in Jesus Christ. And when we move away from that, it's not church anymore. If we try and lay another foundation, that's not church. And it is worth reiterating this because it does happen. The foundation can be lost and forgotten, and we need to keep the cross central. We need to keep Jesus Christ and him crucified as the foundation of the church. So there we are. Paul says at the end of those verses, is it the end? Be careful how you build, yeah, but each one should build with care. And that leads into our next point, which is your building will be tested. Verses 12 to 15. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So Paul carries on the metaphor. If Christ is the foundation of the church, then there's a building work going on Christ. You must remember it's a metaphor. And I think it is a little bit unclear at first, perhaps. I wasn't really sure what this meant. But he's using the metaphor of the different materials that we can build the church on to show that there's a differing degree of quality and endurability. Is that a word, endurability? Yeah, thank you. There you go, just checking. I should have checked myself, really, but glad you're here. So does it last, and is it quality? And so we're talking about teaching, particularly teaching, but any kind of work we do to build up the church, which means for the church of God to grow Church of God to have its faith in Christ increased. We all do that, every member of the church. It's incumbent upon all of us to be concerned for the unity and the building up of each other in love. And we all have gifts to do that. And we will be rewarded for that, this passage says. There'll be a reward, which is great. God saves us for free, gives us gifts, and then rewards us. It's like, great. And building the church is God's work. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he's doing it in us, and then he's going to reward us. It does say it is possible to build in a rubbish way. So I think we've all, anyone who's done DIY, you know, you start out doing DIY and you're a bit rubbish at first. Or you might not be, but I was. But you sort of learn. We're all going to make mistakes and we're all going to do things that it's only human to do. And let's look at the imagery. So the three little pigs, built with wood, hay, was it straw, wood, and bricks? Sorry, I realise it's a lowbrow literary reference. I have small kids. Maybe in a few years you'll get, I don't know, Dickens or something. But three little pigs for now. And here we've got five differing qualities of material, from wood, hay, straw, which is combustible and not lasting, and then the rest, which is precious and lasting. And now we don't see truly the quality of all the work going on. There is a danger that we can be duped, thinking that the quality of the work is better than it is. That's what Paul is warning against. So in the Corinthian time, there were these speakers, these orators, who would go around on a circuit. You know, they're really good speakers. This is their job. Like, they know how to get crowds in the palm of their hand and how to win them over and persuade them. And there's a whole art and skill to it. And the Corinthian church were thinking of Paul. Paul's not very good at that. That is a trap, because what matters is the content. What matters is Jesus Christ and him crucified. So the danger is that we are taken in by the impressive speaking and we don't actually see the true value of the work being done. But on the day, it says, the day will bring it to light. All will be revealed then. So for us, we shouldn't judge anything too soon before the time. There will be a day when, that I'm sure there will be probably some surprises, you know, so some prominent teachers that are famous, possibly the Joel Osteens of the world, where they have a large following. But the content of their message has moved away from Jesus Christ and him crucified to something else. More like, Jesus Christ can give you what you want and give you your best life now, which is not, that's not really gold, is it? That's not going to last. That's not the foundation of the church. It's not congruous with the foundation. So we should be careful how we build and be careful about, you know, what we accept. You know, to a degree, test things against the gospel. Test what I'm saying. Test what we need to keep holding our teaching to account to Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all the Bible is about Jesus. Okay, your work will be tested. So be careful how you build. And then we come to the last point, which is God's Spirit dwells among you. Okay. Yeah, so this theme of God with us, as we've seen, is started in the garden, where God lived with Adam and Eve. He walked with them, talked with them, and obviously sinned, and a man fell, and that was ruined. They had to leave the garden. And then we moved on to a time where God's people Israel had the tabernacle, this tent of meeting where God's presence dwelt. And then there was a more permanent temple, Solomon's temple. That actually did get destroyed. And there were future iterations of the temple. And in the end, Revelation 22:21 says that there'll be no temple, because the Lord Almighty and the Lamb will be the temple. This promise will be fulfilled. But what promise is that? Let's read it in Leviticus 26:11-12. Which is on page 130, Leviticus 26:11-12. I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Okay. There it is in Leviticus. And I'll flick forward for us. You feel free to follow if you want, but no obligation. Ezekiel 37, this promise comes up again. Ezekiel 37, which is on page 868, if you did want to follow along. Chapter 37, verse 26. Says, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then we get to our verses. Verse 16 of chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives among you? We are the temple. It's a wonderful, it's an amazing privilege that God has chosen to live in people. And it's us. We're a part of that. The implication for us that Paul wants to draw out is solid. Keep it solid. I don't know if you've seen Along Came Polly 20 years ago. Who's seen that 2004 film? No one. Oh, one person. Yeah, it's all coming out now. There's a Hank Azaria character. Really funny, this French scuba instructor called Claude, and he had this catchphrase. He would go, solide. He'd say, solid. It's like a greeting, it's like, Lubin, Lisa, solide. And it's just a helpful thing for us to remember that what God wants for us as a church is to keep the temple solid, keep the building together. Let's look in the verses for help with that. So 17 says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. So it's a strong warning that God will destroy anyone who destroys his temple. Now we shouldn't hear this as God saying, don't destroy the temple or I will destroy you, Corinthians, because he says, you are the temple. And the temple is sacred or holy. So by implication, you are holy. You are holy. If you're in Christ's temple, we are those who God has made holy, and we're not those who are going to want to destroy the temple, are we? Now, we can err into that when we're not acting as who we really are, and divisions might start to crop up. But temple destroyers, those people who want to do that will be judged by God. And he's saying, that's not you. You're the temple. So I think where this touches our lives is this tendency to differentiate between people. So, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. What the Corinthians were doing were trusting in man. They were trusting in people and not putting their faith in the foundation in Jesus Christ. So when we do that, if we trust in anything other than Christ, that's temple destroying or temple corrupting. The same word can be destroy or corrupt. So it's a serious thing. Our own sin is not just our problem now that we're a temple together. When the church is corrupted, that affects all of us. So we need to keep it solid. So we want to maintain the unity and guard the purity of the temple of God. I think I notice that we all do this. I hope we notice that we all do this, that we tend to lift up others and maybe despise others based on another foundation, say. So I belong to a jiu-jitsu club, and it's very obvious there that people stand in their rank. You have the black belts at the front, and everyone's like, "Oh, black belts," and then you've got that they go down, and there's a very clear pecking order. And I think that's a human thing, and I think it's a thing we're all prone to doing. And it's what the Corinthians were doing. I am of Paul. Paul is the best. Yeah, Paul. Name drop Paul, just to lift yourself up a bit. It's our sinful nature, isn't it? The Adamic, wanting to be exalted, wanting to be God. We put ourselves higher, put other people lower. But not in the temple, not in God's temple. So the way we avoid that is by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, in him crucified. That shows that we are all the temple. God's Spirit dwells in all of us. So when we're tempted, perhaps to if there's maybe even in the church, so seemingly important people in the church, maybe people serving, Pastor Tim, we're in a group, and Pastor Tim is there, and we're thinking, oh yeah, Pastor Tim, and we kind of want to talk to him for the reason in our heart, because we want to seem important. Then that's the inner sycophant in us, isn't it? The wanting to be exalted, and we're ignoring other people just for our own promotion. Then that's where we need to rub out that divide, because Paul says of himself and the other leaders in the church, what are we? We are servants for your sake. We're servants. So he's rubbing out that distinction. And we need to do that probably actively, where we are tempted to create divisions, whether that be over the jobs we have in church, whether that be over our ethnic lines or racial lines or anything, we can create divisions. Ephesians 2 leans into this, that Christ has broken down the separation. And so where there is a temptation to divide, we need to keep it solid and express our unity. So there's no real division. So cross the pretend border, shake a hand, talk to someone you would maybe even be uncomfortable talking to express your unity, express your being a temple together. And there are many ways we can do that, aren't there? We can, you know, have people over, or just chatting, whatever it's in your heart to do. Pursue the unity of the church, you know, keep it solid. And there, we'll look at the other aspect of the implication of being a church together next, which is so where it says, "Do not destroy." What did it say? If anyone destroys God's temple, that can also mean if anyone corrupts God's temple. And in Paul's next letter, he does bring out the fact that being God's temple means we're called to be holy. And we're called to be holy. And we'll read that at the end. 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and following. So we are the temple. God's Spirit lives among us. So keep it solid and keep it holy. Keep it holy. Now, this isn't a call to monasticism. It doesn't mean we should avoid people because we're scared they will corrupt us. What matters is the heart. Jesus was very clear that sin comes out of the heart, and that's what defiles or makes dirty. It's what comes out of us. So don't worry about, you know, like rubbing shoulders with people who, you know, particularly maybe, I don't know, foul-mouthed, or you think, oh, I'm going to get corrupted. No, it's what's in the heart that matters. So it's not monasticism. There was a helpful podcast, the Family Discipleship podcast. It was helpful telling us how to teach to children, how to make these kinds of choices. And it said, on the one hand, we can be missionaries about things, or we can be monks. And I think that's a helpful paradigm. So if we need to make the decision of, should we avoid this situation to avoid sin? That's, you know, sort of, we can say that's being monkish. And there might be a right time to do that. There are things we wouldn't want to join in with that are obviously sin. And also, on the other hand, there are things, well, no, we want to be in that place, and we want to be there to be a light and to share Christ. So that might be a helpful paradigm, whether, you know, thinking about whether to do something or not. It could be a monk or a missionary. But that's kind of an aside. So keeping it holy. We're going to... It's about time, isn't it? So I'm going to do the last... Just bring out the last point, that God's Spirit lives among us. So, God's Son coming to live among us is a gracious thing. So it'd be kind of like, Mother Teresa moving into a women's prison and just making it a lovely place to live, and taking care of them, rehabilitating them. Or Jeff Bezos, is he still the richest man in the world? Like him moving into a slum. And not in nice clothes, but he lays that aside. He comes in a way that is inviting, and he uses his wealth and wisdom to help the people out of poverty. Jesus Christ, God's Son, has graciously chosen to live with us, sinners. And John pointed out last week from John chapter 1. Amen. He remembers that. And praise the Lord. He's full of the Spirit of the Lord. She is. John chapter 1. Jesus tabernacled among us. And he was full of grace and truth. So he came in a way that wasn't zapping people for their sin. And he didn't come in a crown and you know, condescending, and yes, it's me. No, he came in a way that took into account our weakness, and he bore with us. And though he ascended to heaven, he sent his spirit, and he's still here. And he's with us now. So he lives with us in a way that bears with our weakness in the church. And his call to us is to keep the temple strong and keep it holy. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." Okay, let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, you who walk among the churches, walk among the lampstands in Revelation, you are here and you live among us, and it's a wonderful privilege. And we thank you for being gracious with us, gracious enough to live with us. And we pray that you please empower us to be united, to pursue our unity, and to be holy. And we ask that you'll do it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.